When I specify the type of engineer I am, they're like, you're a nuclear engineer. Wait, what? Like, do you work for the MI5 or something? Like, I'm like, no, not yet.
The face of engineering is changing and evolving. But who are the faces behind it, and more specifically, the women? Let us take you on a journey of an exciting career that celebrates success and embraces failure. I'm your host, Ganan Adamu, and together with The Common Room, we bring you The Face of Engineering. Today, I'm in conversation with Gina Baker.
I am Gina Baker. I'm 23. I was born in West Africa, Ghana, Accra to be specific. I grew up in Liverpool as well, but I'm currently working down south. I'm a 2020 cohort graduate from University of Leeds. I studied chemical and nuclear engineering, in which I hold a master's and a bachelor's. So that's just a bit about me.
I love that. So I want to start off first with, you know, being born in Ghana, grew up in Liverpool. So how old were you when you came to Liverpool?
I think I was about 10 or 11.
Can you remember what it was like when you arrived?
When I first came in, my first impression was, this place is cold. Yeah. This place is cold. Because imagine, I've never traveled outside Ghana when I was back home. So all I've ever known was heat or just rain.
You know what? I'm with you, because I came, I think, in 1983. I was three going on four, and it was freezing. And we came around, I think it was October. So you can imagine even how cold it was then. And I just remember thinking, why have you done this to us? Why?
There's better opportunities. I have to freeze. Like.
And then for me as well, it was the smell. I remember the smell. We arrived in Heathrow. And then from Heathrow, we got the train to Liverpool. And I remember just thinking, I don't like the smell. I don't like how grey it is. Because obviously, you know, Africa and, you know, we're next door to each other, Nigeria and Ghana. And, you know, and for me, you know, beautiful house, beautiful weather, beautiful food, you know.
Everything is sunny. Everything is like, I don't know. There's something about Africa that inspires happiness, because I think everything is clear. It's green. Everything is bright, whereas here it's a bit gloomy.
It's the vitamin D, isn't it? It's the vitamin D of Africa.
It honestly is, but there's something that makes you happy down there, yeah.
I love that. So, Gina, who inspired you to get into engineering?
So, her name is Catherine Johnson. So, if you've watched Hidden Figures, it's the leading lady that Taraji P. Henson played. So, she was part of NASA. She was a mathematician. And basically, I love the fact that she was in a room full of men and she made her voice heard. She made her work a scene, obviously, and her calculation led to, you know, people landing on space and that. But that kind of inspired me through my engineering journey, even though I didn't set out to do engineering in the first place. But like, learning about her really did inspire me. So R.I.P. Catherine Johnson.
So when you went to university to do your MA, what was your research topic?
It's got to do with nuclear waste and basically how can we store it better, what are like the consequences of it. And they're basically trying to link nuclear fission, which is what we usually study, because fusion is like what happens in the sun, and we still don't have that much energy to replicate what happens in the sun, because it takes a long time, and I'm talking years, to store nuclear waste. So it's like, where can we better store it? What's the chemical balance that we need to get? And this was across the UK, France, and I think America as well. But in the UK, it was Leeds, Manchester University, and Imperial doing it as well.
Wow.
Yeah, that was my research was about nuclear waste.
So, and, I mean, when you look at nuclear waste, I mean, I'm thinking with a journalism hat on, do you then look into like the politics and the geography of nuclear waste as well?
Definitely. Like at a seniority level, that you have to talk about the geographical locations and what like different councils think about nuclear waste, because obviously we need to store it in some part of the country and we need to consult the council if they're okay with it. The council obviously need to talk to the people that live nearby. So where nuclear is actually stored in this country, it's not densely populated, it's very sparsely populated. So it's actually up north and it's usually by the coast as well. So if we want to move things by water, it's easier. But we need to definitely think about the politics. We need to think about funding, because obviously everyone has an opinion on nuclear, because it's usually related to defense. What my work was doing was actually not looking at defense, is how can we use it better. In UK, our electricity is actually powered by, I think, is it 21% nuclear? Mm-hmm. So a lot of our energy actually comes from nuclear. And in places like France, like literally it's like 80%. Yeah, everything electricity in France is like nuclear. It's an interesting topic. And yeah, the politics and the concerns is all there. Yes, we do have to talk about that. Not the legislation.
God, that'd be so interesting. You know what? I love politics anyway. And just, I'm like, that's why one of the reasons why, obviously, I became a journalist. But I do love the, like, when you talk about science and geography, and there's there's so much that people actually don't know goes on behind the scenes.
Because it's not just the government. It's like the government who seek out contractors, and then there'll be the companies that actually work for the government, and then there's the independent people looking at it. And it literally, they have to come to one conclusion. And obviously, it's the whole back and forth. It's like, well, you're saying that we could disperse this much waste into the water. What are the consequences of it? Then we get the health medics and all those people involved. So it's like, it's collaborative work, honestly. And it's very interesting when you're in a room like for that.
I love that. Oh my God. You know what? If I had you come in as a speaker, when I was thinking about engineering, I think I would have taken it up, honestly.
Honestly, the thing is, like, when you usually see people that look like you, it will honestly convince you, because it's like, oh, she looks like me and she's actually there doing it. There must be something going on there that is interesting for, like, obviously for her to stay there for, like, I stayed in my course for 5 years doing it. So, like, that would definitely motivate me to, like, carry on, or at least find out more about it, or speak to the person that's talking all about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've got two qualifications. It's a bachelor's and a master's, but it's usually called MEng in chemical and nuclear engineering, because usually when you have an MEng, it's assumed that you have a BEng.
So on both the courses you were on, were there many women of colour, or even women in general?
So when it comes to the different types of engineering, chemical is one of the ones that has more female on there. But in the chemical side, there was a few women on there. There wasn't a lot of people doing nuclear either, but I was the only female in my cohort and the only black female on my course.
Wow. And you know what? And that kind of leads me on to my next question as well. So you made an announcement, obviously, in 2020. Can you share that with us?
So basically, I think at the back end of June, with the whole BLM thing going on the timeline, and obviously us raising awareness, I was having a conversation with my professor, and I basically found out that I was the first black woman to have done chemical and nuclear engineering, a master's degree from the University of Leeds. So I tweeted that, because at first I didn't want to talk about it, but my mates was like, nah, you don't know who you inspire out there, so definitely do share your story. And then it went off after that. Like, literally people found me on LinkedIn. It was just crazy.
But you know what? I saw somebody reply to you on Twitter saying, are you sure you're not the only one in the UK that's done chemical and nuclear engineering?
The thing is, I possibly could be, but would have to find out from, like, the Nuclear Institute and all of that, like, if I am definitely the first black woman UK-wide to do my specific course. But as of now, I don't know, because it would take, obviously, my institute contacting the other universities that do it.
I think they need to start finding out.
I mean, I wouldn't mind to know. I wouldn't mind to know, because the thing is, I can't confirm, but I am possibly, yes, the first black woman possibly in the UK to have done my course.
But definitely from your university, you are?
Definitely from my university, I know that for sure, yes.
So what would be, because obviously I know you're working now, we'll come to that, but what would be your dream role?
My dream role?
Yeah.
Ooh, I would actually like to do engineering on more of a global level. So I'd actually like to be a UN ambassador, because I don't just want to limit myself to the UK just because I live here. I also grew up in Ghana, like, for a short period, obviously did primary school there. So I want to be in a place where I can have more of a global influence, which is like the UN, so United Nations, and also like the World Nuclear Association. Where there, I can have more of an impact, because I can influence other countries. I can influence what they do with their waste. And being able to work in the UN will be insane.
That would be crazy. And you know what? I could see you doing it for sure.
No, I'm trying out here. I'm actually trying out here, you know, doing little speeches here and there, inspiring people, talking to people, and networking my way to, I guess, to the table, because again, they need people like me at the table.
They really do. So what are you currently working on at the moment? Because I know you've got a job now as well.
So I currently work for one of Europe's largest packaging and recycling company. We're called DS Smith, and basically make a lot of packaging from your Procter & Gamble products. So this is like your Ariel, your Heads and Shoulders, to your Nestle Soft, to your Cadbury, to your Flowers Wild and Bloom. We're there. So I feel like I'm shouting out a lot of companies here, but like the good thing is we do something we call the circular, the loop, the complete circuit loop. We actually go to supermarkets as well. And after like we delivered the product, we take the boxes and we recycle it in our recycling companies, take the end product from there, take it to paper, make new sheet boards of paper, and then bring it to our packaging manufacturing companies, and then make the box again. So yeah, guys, recycle properly, because sometimes the amount of stuff we find in there, batteries, please recycle batteries properly.
So, and, well, you know what, I want to be quite geeky about this. What is the, you know, what's the technicality of, you know, actually making these boxes?
Oh, the supply chain network is long, because the thing is, think about it, the tree was probably coming from, I don't know, Mexico somewhere.
Okay.
Think about it. It's involved in that. So the tree is cut down into little fibers, obviously, so it's more packageable, more manageable. It travels across the water, it gets here, it's obviously blended in machines, but basically the wood fibers is literally chopped down, grinded, all of that, and then the water comes out, the pulp comes out, it's dried to make paper. This goes into another machine, so corrugators are involved, which basically shapes it, and then it goes to the color bit, which obviously gives a color if it's been. And there's different like textures of like the paper and how it's supposed to be. It has to be made to a certain shape, a certain angle, a certain texture, feel, and sometimes color. And obviously it depends if it's like a luxury brand or it's just your normal packaging boxes. So it just depends, because it depends if it's going to Ted Baker or it's going to let's say Gear for Music. Do you know what I mean?
So it could be the same tree.
It's the same tree, yeah, but it's just like how it's treated after. That's what makes it different.
Okay. See, it's not just the box, is it? It's not just the box.
There's a whole thing going in the box.
That's brilliant. Yeah. That is so brilliant. So yeah. I want to go on to your music as well, but first I want to talk about, you know, when you tell people your qualifications and, you know, that you're an engineer, are they surprised, or is it like, okay, then she looks like an engineer, or is it kind of like, oh?
So like people that know me, when I say I'm an engineer, they're not surprised. But what they get surprised is when I specify the type of engineer I am, they're like, you're a nuclear engineer? Wait, what? Like, do you work for the MI5 or something? Like, I'm like, no, not yet. There's not a lot of people like me doing nuclear engineering, but the nuclear side, I do get a lot of looks. They're like, so does that mean you know how to make a bomb? And I'm like, guys, like, nuclear is so much more than that. It's not just defense. It's like in an average person's lifetime, so I think 75 years, all the energy that you need from electricity to your car to everything you use energy for is a can of coke of uranium. That just a can of coke of uranium
is
75 years. France have used it from the beginning of time, because you don't need a lot of it to have a lot of energy. But then it's the treatment and it's the waste treatment after that's like, that takes a long time, because we're talking 20, 30 years here to like cool it down to appropriate levels.
That's amazing. Yeah. So what do you think the industry can do to attract more women, but also specifically more women of colour to other parts of engineering? Because obviously, you know, you mentioned there's quite a few women who go into chemical, but other parts of engineering?
There needs to be more of a targeted approach. Just because you say women and you put it on your socials does not mean that females are following your socials or they're checking all the different things that you're doing. Let's say you're from Leeds. You know where, I guess, the black communities are, or the predominantly black schools are. Why don't you do more of a targeted like marketing approach where you actually go to the schools and pitch to them what is available? Because I think what is really missing here is the fact that people don't know the opportunities out there, the different disciplines of engineering that there is out there. We go from medical to your electrical to chemical to nuclear to people just looking at sustainability to people just looking at energy to people are just looking at waste treatment. Kids need to know what opportunities there are available to them. So with me, like after this call, I actually have a call with my university where it's a targeted approach for year 12 students in London, and it's called Generating Genius. And I'm going to talk to them about obviously my journey and my experience, but them seeing people like me talk about the very, I guess, different discipline of engineering will tell them, oh, actually, maybe they're like, I like doing this. Let me see if there's a specific engineering catered to it or there's a specific STEM course catered to it. That would get them more engaged and more, go do more research and find out about it. But these universities, these organizations, these charities, it needs to be more of a targeted approach. I think that's what's kind of missing.
And you know what? You're completely right. Because I'm a lot older than you, but I even remember when I was in school and we didn't have any engineers that came in. We didn't even have any journalists that came in, you know.
How am I supposed to know what I want to do in the future? All I'm inspired by is like music I listen to and maybe shows I watch. But then there's so many people in the background that do a lot that people don't know about. So let's just take music, for example. We always see the artist and the band, but we never see the people doing lighting. We don't see the people setting up the stage. We don't see the people doing the marketing. We don't see people doing A&R. So if the young people are not aware that these jobs are available, or they don't know a family friend or a parent that does it, how would those job opportunities be filled? How will people like me end up there? Because we're not aware that these things exist, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, so true. So true. Now, not only are you a geek, you are a creative artistic geek as well. So can you tell us about your music?
So I call myself the STEAM girl. So that's science, technology, engineering, arts, and obviously maps. My arts is music. I'm very passionate about music. So my alias or my name, my music name is Genius. And the genius, the E is an I. So that's my stage name. And I'm actually not just a singer. I'm a songwriter and also a sound engineer. So I actually produce the music that I put out. I've been doing this for years, for as long as I can think about, from obviously playing in church and then becoming a teenager, you know, networking, making friends at uni and just meeting people higher up. I've been doing this from at least 2010, but I just didn't take it serious. Like, it used to be a hobby, but now I'm definitely serious about it. I have invested more into it because my studio is just growing and growing. And yeah, like, I have a new single coming out soon. I dropped an EP this year as well called Happy to Be Outside. Yeah, I'm enjoying every moment of it. The next single, I guess, is coming out the end of this month, but it will probably be out before people hear this podcast. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. Genius to the world. And I hope certain people are inspired by it. When I put on my glasses, I tell people I'm Gina. But when they come off, I'm Genius. So.
Oh, I love it, Gina. I love it. You don't have to just be an engineer.
No, that's just the 9 to 5. When you come home, what else excites you? If there's something else that excites you, honestly, pursue it. We only have one life. Like, I definitely do urge people to like explore it. Even if every week you have something else you want to try, just try it out. Because you don't know who's watching. You don't know how it'll make you feel. You don't know how it'll develop you. So honestly, keep doing it. And like, I've come to a platform where I can talk about both my engineering side and my music side, which is obviously, it's great. So honestly, if there's something you're passionate about, I always tell people, go for it. And don't care what people will say, because people will have opinions out there. It's only what matters to you and what you want to wake up and do.
And my final question, Gina, is what does the next 5 years look like for you?
Well, as I said, I'm a STEAM girl. So for engineering side, it would definitely be chartership. So as it stands, I'm an associate member of the Institute of Chemical Engineers, so AMI Chemie. I want to be chartered. Chartered is more recognized worldwide and it's more respected. So it's on the same level as the doctorate level. And that's just for people that have worked in the core technical engineering role for 5 years. But as it stands, I'm actually working on the business side. I'm actually a supply chain analyst in my company. But definitely want to get on the technical operational side. And for music-wise, music-wise is just limitless. I would like to do more features because I... mainly specifying that Afro beats, Afro pop, Afro swing. So anything that has that Afro fusion, Afro amalgamation vibe to it, dancehall, I'm all involved in that. And I'll definitely like to produce for people. I don't want to jinx it because I don't want to put it out there, but I definitely like to produce for big artists and be in rooms doing, honestly, trying out other genres as well, EDM, just having big conversations and doing great in music. So both production and singing, playing shows, doing tours, doing festivals, it's all in the plan, and we're working towards it. So yeah, 5 years. 5 years, think big. And then after that, we're going for UN.
What? It's possible. And you know what? It's possible. You put it out there to the universe and it will happen. Yeah. That's how it works.
Definitely works. And as I've always said, like, be passionate about what you do, strategize and plan against it, and put your heart, like, and sweat into it, and it will work out. It might seem like it's taking time, but someone probably started a business in the first year, it failed. In the second year, it failed. In the third year, it became a seven-figure business. So never stop trying. That would be my advice. Just keep on doing it, because if you're passionate about it, it will get there eventually. I genuinely believe that.
Gina Baker, a trailblazing Black woman, combining her role in cleaning up our energy sector with her passion for singing. I love how she speaks about creativity being the key to becoming a better engineer. Now, to me, that is so inspirational. Join me next time when I talk to aerospace engineer Halimatu Abubakar on The Face of Engineering.